And so Moses' second block in his faith barrier was his ignorance of who God is. And I would simply ask you, do you want to know who he is? Then my friend, get in the Word of God and start reading. Listen, when you come across a statement or a command in the Scripture or some requirement in the Scripture, you want to discover who God is, you obey. Listen carefully. You obey that command. Listen, here's how you discover who God is. God reveals himself to those who are willing to be obedient to what they know. Now watch this. So you're reading the Scriptures and you come across a command, whatever that command may be. If you will purpose in your heart to be obedient to what's real simple and you understand, here's what will happen. God will expand your understanding of who he is. That's the way you learn who God is. You don't learn who God is by simply reading the Bible. You learn who God is by reading the Scriptures and obeying what God says. And what does he do? He expands your capacity to understand who he is. That makes it possible for the person who's just become a Christian and the person who's been a Christian for 40 years to be able to each keep growing and discovering who God is. God wants us to know who he is. Why is the first thing he said to him? When he said, now let me think about this, God. He said, well, I'm going to tell you who I am. I want you to know who's doing the talking. This isn't some figment of your imagination. This isn't some angel doing the talking now. God says, I am that I am. I'm the one who's doing the talking. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm the God who said, I'll bring your people out of Egyptian bondage. I am the God who said, I will destroy the Egyptians and give their wealth to you. He had to deal with his ignorance. Second block. What's the third block? The third block is doubt. And you see, look at what happens here now. If you'll notice in this fourth chapter, beginning in verse 1, God having said to him, I'm calling you to go, I'm going with you. It's not your image, I'm the one who's going with you. I will be in you. Secondly, I'm telling you who I am. I've told you what I've promised, and I've told you you can rely on my power. And in spite of that, verse 1, then Moses answered and said, what if they'll not believe me? Or listen to what I say, for they may say, the Lord's not appeared to you. And so God said, all right, what is he doing? He's saying, now, I know what you said, God, but I'm not sure about this. Now, all of us have problems with doubts at times. Anybody who says, I've never doubted God, just lied to you. And if a person says, well, I used to 2 years ago, but I don't ever doubt anything else anymore, they lied a second time. Because everybody has doubts at times about things that God may challenge you with or say to you, and you think, God, is this you or is this me? And sometimes we want to believe it's us because we don't want it to be God because we don't like what he may require of us. And so we have doubts. And so God, understanding Moses' doubts, what did he do? He said, Moses, what's that in your hand? He said, a shepherd's staff. Throw it down. You recall what happens? It turned into a serpent. Pick it up by its tail. It turned back into a staff. He said, Moses, put your hand on your breast here. He put his hand on his breast and he brought it out and it was white like leprous, scared him to death, I'm sure. Put it back in there, take it back out. It was renewed like his flesh. He said, now here are two evidences that you don't have any reason to doubt me. If I tell you I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. And here's two evidences right here, two miracles that you've just seen, Moses. Now you don't need any more. But he says, here's what I'm going to do. When you get down to Egypt, here's something else I'm going to do. I'm going to have you take water out of the Nile River and pour it on the ground. It's going to turn to blood. In fact, I'm going to turn that whole river into blood. Now, he didn't tell him that at the time. Here's what I want you to see. Now, listen, if you're listening, say amen. Do you see how loving God is and how patient? Moses says, well, now I heard the call, God, but. And each time he butts, what does God do? God doesn't scold him in these times. He's going to work him over pretty hard later on here in a minute. But he doesn't scold him, but he says, now Moses, look, I'm going to be with you. Here's what I'm going to do. And so now he's into performing miracles. Now, here's the problem. Those people who say, well, I've got to have a miracle to believe God, you can just forget that. You know what? Miracles don't convince people of much. And proof of it is, he's still trying. Listen, even after his doubt, and even after God brings him to these next two barriers to his faith, he's still having the same problem. The Pharisees and the Sadducees watched Jesus heal people, raise the dead, renew the strength in the limbs, give sight to blind and hearing to deaf. And what do? They crucified him. No matter how many miracles he performed, they always had some human explanation for what he did. And when they couldn't explain it, they thought, then they just said, well, we don't believe that. Let's get rid of this man. In other words, if you can't explain it, kill him. Listen, the person who wants to live on miracles, I want to go to church where there's miracles. Hallelujah, praise God. I'll tell you what, every time somebody gets saved, the most important miracle that can happen on the face of this earth happens at that moment. That is the most important miracle that can happen when a person who's living in sin turns their life over to Jesus Christ and becomes a child of God. The name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. God forgives them of their sin, which is something that nobody on the face of this earth can possibly do. And they're forever a child of God to live eternally with Him. Name me something more miraculous than that. And remember this, that the primary purpose for the miracles of Jesus was to convince those of His day that He was the Messiah. Not trying to convince them that He had all power. He was the Messiah, and that His power was the evidence of who He was. They refused to accept who He was. Now, when you and I doubt, what we have to ask is, what's the basis of our doubt? You see, sometimes you need to talk to yourself. You say, well, if I get to talk to myself, what's somebody going to think? Doesn't make a difference what they think. You need to talk to yourself. Now, here's what you need to ask yourself. The next time God tells you to do something and you doubt it, ask yourself this question. What evidence do I have? Having been a Christian this long, what evidence do I have that God is not going to do what He says? You know what you're going to come up with? Zero. There is no evidence that God is a liar. There's no evidence that God's going to fail you. There's no evidence that God has ever failed to keep a promise. Almighty God, the Almighty God who says, I am, is the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, all-loving, merciful, just, and righteous God who cannot lie, who will not lie, and who is everything He says He is and more, because our finite minds cannot comprehend the awesome reality of who God is. We have no reason to doubt. We have feelings that cause us to doubt. We have things that we think give us reason to doubt, but the truth is they're not there in reality. Then he faced another obstacle here in his dealings with God. And so here is the fourth block in this barrier. And this fourth block, I think all of us have to deal with this at times, is feelings of inadequacy. Now listen to what happens here. Move on over, if you will, to verse 10. He says in verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, please, Lord, I've never been eloquent. Now look at this. I love this. Neither recently nor in times past. He says, in fact, Lord, just to make this real clear, I never have been able to speak in public. He said, I can't now, and I haven't in the past. And listen to this, he says, nor since you spoke to me, to thy servant, for I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. He said, I just can't do it. He said, you got the wrong fella. This time you have really made a mistake. I cannot speak. There's no way for me to do it. Now look what happens. So the Lord said to him, who made man's mouth? Don't you know he felt stupid? Who made man's mouth? Who makes him dumb, a deaf, or seeing, or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Is it not I, the Lord? Can I not give you the power to speak? Am I not the one who gives you sight and hearing, speech and strength for the body? He says, who is it that makes man's mouth? Now then go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to say. Now look, every single time he comes up with, oh, but Lord, he makes him a promise. He says, I'm going with you and I'm going to tell you exactly what to say.